The Old Testament reading today comes from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes. But it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and the briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle today, Philippians 3, verses 4 through 14. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Scott. Please rise. The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew 21, verses 33 to 46. Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same thing to them. Finally he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons?" Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. You know, next week we are going to have our little grandson, Max, with us. And whenever Max comes, probably whenever any three-year-old visits your house, there's issues of authority that come up. Like, who's in charge here? That reminds me of this gospel lesson we just read, and we're going to get to that. But before we do, I want to go back for just a moment to Genesis 2. In Genesis 2, there's a story of God creating humanity, Adam and Eve. He plopped them down in the middle of paradise and gave them just one rule to keep. Just one. You'd think they'd kept it, wouldn't you? They didn't. Satan convinced Adam and Eve that if they ate the fruit that God had forbidden them to eat, their eyes would be opened and they'd be like God. They'd know everything, past and future, and would no longer need God at all. They'd be in charge, not God. So they ate it, the fruit. And from that point on, humanity and all creation was infected with original sin. The compulsion to reject God's authority and the corruption of the intended order of things. Every one of us has been rebelling against God ever since. All of us. Maybe you're thinking, that's not true. Not for me. I've happily accepted God's authority in my life. Well, this is how I would respond to that. I don't care if you've never missed your morning quiet time with God in years. I don't care how piously you present yourself to others. I don't care if you're the poster boy or girl for the Good Christian Club. Every one of us desperately strives to usurp God's authority and be in charge of our own lives. We want to make the decisions. In fact, I want to decide how my children turn out and even what decisions they make as adults. I want to decide how and when I die. I want to decide how much money is enough for me. I want to be happy and comfortable by controlling the events of my life. That's how every one of us would have it, if we could. If you don't believe me, ask around. Ask anyone with a serious illness. Ask anyone who's lost a child, or anyone whose spouse has died or is afflicted with dementia. Ask anyone who has a child who struggles in life. Ask anyone living in poverty. Ask a battered spouse. Ask anyone who'd like to be married but isn't. Ask anyone who desperately wants a child, or even someone who just needs a friend. Ask anyone who'd sometimes like the circumstances of their life to be different. The truth is, I'd like to decide my fate rather than God. because sometimes I don't like the hand that he's dealt me. I want to rearrange things. And yet the very first commandment says, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods. That includes me. But this is still a compulsion. So how do you stop a compulsion? Stop trying to usurp God and let God be the authority. Well, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus had been stopped and challenged by the ruling Pharisees, the Jewish authorities, as he strolled through the temple in Jerusalem. They demanded of Jesus, "Who gives you the authority to say what you say and do what you do?" As if to say, "We Pharisees are the authorities here, not you." Well, Jesus responded to the Pharisees by telling them two parables, including today's parable of the tenants. These tenants were sharecroppers. They worked and cultivated the vineyard and harvested the grapes. And when the harvest was complete, the tenants took a share of the grapes and the owner took a share of the grapes. But in this parable, when the owner sent representatives to collect his share of the grapes, the tenants attacked them. They beat them and even killed some of the servants of the owner. Well, not knowing what else to do and hoping that the tenants would respect his own son, the owner sent his son to collect what was his. But instead of treating the owner's son with respect, they saw this as their big opportunity to usurp the owner's authority and take the vineyard for themselves. They killed the son. The ruling Pharisees, the authorities in the temple to whom Jesus was telling this story, they perceived that Jesus was talking about them. And he was. It was Jesus' prophecy of his own crucifixion at the hands of those very Pharisees. And that made those Pharisees very angry. One of the interesting things here, though, is that this parable is also about you and me. Not that we participated directly in the crucifixion of Jesus, but just like the ruling Pharisees, we also challenge the authority of God in our lives all the time, actively and passively. So how can we quit striving to usurp God's authority? Well, there's no three-step plan. Maybe the best we can do is marvel at the magnitude of God's patience and compassion toward us who are subordinate or insubordinate. Maybe we should just marvel at his willingness to forgive us. You know, I also cling to this hope that when the events of our lives don't turn out the way we want and we suffer, I cling to the hope that there's value in our suffering. There's value in the long, arduous process of railing at God for the tragedy he's allowed. And that in the overwhelming and terrible process of grief, somehow, some way, the end result is a recognition of God's mercy after all. I cling to that hope. Which reminds me of our friend, Old Testament scholar Chad Bird, who's lectured here at Christ the Vine twice in recent years. He's written a book about suffering, about reaching the very end of his rope in his book titled Night Driving. Bird went through a self-imposed tragedy an infidelity that cost him his marriage, cost him his kids and his prestigious career. Eventually, he got remarried, and then to his shock, his second wife divorced him. And he went through a period of rage. Rage at himself, at his former wife, and especially at God. In fact, he felt all but rejected and felt as if God had rejected him and he had rejected God. So how did Chad Bird put things aright? How did he resolve his anger toward God and let God be God, whatever may befall him? He didn't. He couldn't put things aright. Instead, he cried out, along with St. Paul in Romans 7, "Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death?" Well, here's the answer. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is what he wrote in his book. Thanks be to God, for in Christ alone, the truth of Christ's work in our lives became clear. Now listen to this next part. Christ doesn't empower us to live a life that will ultimately please Him. He doesn't lend us a hand as we fight free from the clutches of idolatry. He doesn't show us the way to refine our hearts in order that we might love Him alone. Instead, Jesus accomplished for us everything the Father desires, despite our selfish attempts to thwart His work every step of the way. So here's the shocking truth that the Apostle Paul is communicating and Chad Bird is echoing. Christ doesn't save us by making our compulsion to usurp God's authority go away. That's not what He does. What He does is always forgive us. And what's more, Christ has imputed to us who believe and are baptized, He's imputed to us His own perfect righteousness as a gift. So when God looks at you, you are seen as perfect in God's eyes. You're safe, accepted, and loved, no matter what, by the God who created you. All of us second-guess God regularly. All of us want to avoid the struggles and tragedies and difficulties and the horrible, painful heartbreaks of life. And yet God is in control, not us. You know, the first time Chad Bird came to speak here at Christ the Vine, I picked him up at his hotel. And he'd been a professor of mine, so we had some things to catch up on. He told me about his son, Luke, a toddler, the last time I saw him. Luke had recently been accepted to the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis. Luke was a little boy when his parents' marriage disintegrated. And I know that Chad was extremely worried and felt great guilt about his children. Well, Luke turned out great. He was a freshman at the U.S. Naval Academy. But then Luke was killed in a hiking accident in South America in the summer of 2022. You know, we're limited human beings who can't see the future. All we can do is trust God, who holds the future in His hands. And despite the tragedies and disappointments of this life, God assures us that He loves us and promises us a sure and certain future in heaven, where He wipes the tears from every face. So be at peace, despite our failures and our insubordination, we still belong to Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that though we kick and rail against You and Your authority in our lives, though we complain about our lot in life, though we wish things were different, You still exhibit kindness and compassion and love for us. Lord, help us to be filled with gratitude toward Your kindness for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.